I tell you, there's so much on my heart and mind today that I hardly know where to begin, where to end. We're going to begin with Proverbs, though, chapter 14 and verse 34. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. And probably not going, in fact, I'm almost positive, will not go get through with this message today. I am going to purposely cut it short, and we'll try to probably finish it up this afternoon. But I'm purposely going to do that because I'm going to ask Brother Dale to address the congregation to this after the message. I want to hear Brother Dale's thoughts on the consequences of such things as this election and this election process that we're in today. Are any other remarks, Brother Dale, that you might like to share with the congregation? We do miss you, and we miss the knowledge that you have in the Word of God, and we miss the grace that comes forth. Again, I'm so thankful that we have men in the congregation who are well read, well studied, well meditated in the Word of God and is able to expound the truth of God's holy Word. But we do miss Brother Dale. And in the meantime, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, the writer says, righteousness exalteth a nation. But the opposite of that is, the contrast to it is, but sin is a reproach to any people. Essentially, that is what we're facing and have been facing. I guess maybe the way I can express it is, it's just coming to a head. The realization ought to have been with us, and it has been with us for a long time. God has been good to us, that He has not deceived us in that sense, that He has hidden these things from us. We have not believed the lie. God has given us the truth. To the extent that sometimes it actually scares me, because I know what the consequences of that is. If you know these things, then what? Happy are you if you do them. But again, the opposite of that is, if you know these things and you do not do them, then there is greater condemnation and greater damnation that awaits. There's one thing that I can say, and I say it trembling. If God were to cast me into hell, there is absolutely no way that I could complain, because I know too much already. Do we know everything? No, we do not. We do not need to know everything. In fact, God has purposely kept much We have no idea how much God has kept from us. What we do know is that the secret things belong unto God, but those things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. We have a responsibility of passing these things on to our children. And as Brother Dale mentioned just a minute or two ago about Seth, Seth sat under sound doctrinal spiritual preaching for years. And he does know, he has known. But again, so have our children. Every one of our children, I guess I can say, have been raised in the church, and to a great degree, they have heard the truth. Now, have there been times when that is not so? And it has been. Our children, I'm talking about mine and my wife, our children were brought up and in church from the time they were born until they left home, at least. Thankfully, some of them are still going to church. But there was times in that time when, yes, the truth was not presented. But hopefully and prayerfully, as God led us out of error and into the truth, that was passed on to them. And I can say confidently today that our children know the truth. These children that are sitting here today in this congregation, they know the truth. Do they know everything? No. Do they understand everything? No. But they do know this, that there is a God, that He is real, that He is eternal, that He is holy, that He is just, and that He does judge sin, and that there is, though, a Savior, and His name is Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. We are responsible, or I like to use really the term accountable, unto God. And as the writer of Proverbs says, again, righteousness is that which exalteth a nation. Sin, though, is a reproach to any people. The whole problem is sin, and the whole solution to it is righteousness. One of the things that is so heart-wrenching from a human standpoint, again, it's not heart-wrenching to God. Don't make that mistake. God is not sorrowful over all this evil that's going on. God is vengeful, and He will avenge His holy name. But one of the ideas that's been taught for a long time now is the fact that you do not have to be righteous yourself. That the righteousness of Jesus is sufficient. But dearly beloved, that is a lie that was born in hell. And it has millions and millions of people perfectly, absolutely comfortable that because Christ is righteous, they themselves are righteous. But unless the righteousness of Jesus Christ in and by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is in you, In other words, unless you have a heart of righteousness, a mind of righteousness, in other words, the mind of Christ, unless you have that in you, if that is not present in you, the righteousness of Christ is not going to do you any good. You can believe in Jesus all you want. He is an historical character. He did live, and he did die, and he did rise again from the dead, and all of that. But unless that righteousness of Jesus is imputed into you, unto you, into you, then the righteousness of Jesus is not going to avail you anything. Because those whom he saves, he puts his spirit in them. And those that have his spirit, that divine nature, as Peter puts it, it is a nature of righteousness. How people can, again, twist the scriptures. It's amazing, absolutely amazing how they can twist the scriptures. And Peter acknowledges this, doesn't he? He says they twist the scriptures to their own destruction. But John tells us very plainly in 1 John, First of all, in chapter 2, in verse 29, he says, "If ye know that he," speaking of Jesus, "is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth," right? "Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Now again, The contrast, the opposite of that is, and again, we've said it over and over, where the Bible says, states a positive, there's always a negative that's implied, and vice versa. Where the Bible states a negative, there's always a positive that's implied. But here it states it outright, doesn't it? "If you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. But if they do not do righteousness, then they are not born of him." You can still tell a tree by its fruit. A good tree does not bear evil fruit or corrupt fruit. And neither doth a corrupt tree bear good fruit. Works both ways, doesn't it? And so he that is born of God, he doeth righteousness. Now, he goes on, in chapter 3, and where can we begin and where can we start? "But behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I mean, verses 1 and 2, there's a wonderful thought, but very few go to verse 3. But what does verse 3 say? It says, "And every man that hath this hope in him does something." What does he do? He purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now, people all, you know, again, this thing. And, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. You know, we try to excuse ourselves sometimes by saying those kind of things. But folks, there is a mortification, such a thing as a mortification of the flesh. And every person that has this, the Holy Ghost abiding within him, that has the Spirit of Christ abiding in him, he is going to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We're told that in no uncertain terms in the 8th chapter of Romans, aren't we? If ye, through the Spirit, or by the Spirit, right, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, then what? You shall live. Well, what if you don't? Then you die. It's just that simple. And so we read on, whosoever then committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law, and ye know that he was manifested to do what? Take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. And that's what's going on, folks. But righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth. Again, it's doing. Now that's not hard. Brother Dale, we don't have to analyze that. We don't have to break it down. We don't have to go to the Greek to understand what that says. It's plain and simple. This smallest child that's in this room knows what doeth means. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, who is the he? That's Jesus. Even as he is righteous. Folks, that's what is bringing on all that is taking place today, it's unrighteousness. It's just pure and simple. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Well, what is a reproach? What in the world does reproach mean? You know, I'm finding myself that I use a lot of terms, a lot of words that, you know, I have some idea, you know, about what they mean, but I find myself, you know, having to go and really search these things out. What does it mean to reproach? What is a reproach? Well, I'll give you my 1828 dictionary. Reproach, shame, infamy, well, it's the opposite of famous for a good sense. I guess most of us could understand it by FDR's statement concerning Pearl Harbor. A day that will live in infamy. Disgrace. Or that which causes shame. It's an object of contempt. It means to be an object of contempt. Our scorn. Our derision. And folks, it's bad enough if we reproach. But to be reproached of God, to be scorned of God, to be brought to shame. Is this one of the promises of God? He that believeth in Christ shall never be what? Ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we are afraid of, and what we are ashamed of, is a reproach that might be brought upon the name of God, the name of Christ, and the person of Christ by something that we say or do. It is a shame. What's happened in general to the church today. But who cares? Amos kind of puts it in the 6th chapter of Amos. In that first verse, he says, they're at ease in Zion. And then he describes that ease. What was that ease? Well, they lie upon their beds of ivory. They eat the calves out of the stall. They drink their wine out of the bowls. And they invent unto themselves music like unto David. But then he says, but they're not at all bothered by the affliction or grieved by the affliction of Joseph. Folks, that's what's happened today. It's the handwriting on the wall. They're not ashamed. And they're not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. But as the apostle says, and the other side of it is, they glory in their shame. That which they should be ashamed of, that which should be a reproach to them, they're not at all ashamed of that. Jeremiah says they cannot blush. But rather they glory in that which ought to be a shame unto them. But righteousness is what is going to exalt, if a nation is going to be exalted. But dearly beloved, if there is righteousness in a nation, it will be exalted. Because he says it here. He doesn't say that it might or it could. He says righteousness exalteth a nation. But then sin is a reproach to any people. And that's what we're seeing today, is a reproach. Now, I'm going to cut it off here, and Brother Dale, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you, whatever God lays upon your heart, you give it to us.